Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios, and on the other end of the line with me today, my partner in crime, Josh Webb. Josh,
you know what?
We've got a special episode today. This one is taking the place of our college pick'em show that would normally be heard today.
That's what I was going to say opening up a minute ago was a small disclaimer that this is not the college pick'em show. It's a lot more special than that. Not that it's not special and fun, the college pick'ems, but this is something different that's really, really awesome and really fun to be a part of.
Yeah, because I know you don't want to sit around and listen to Josh and I talk. We gathered into one room. Let's go through the list. Spencer, Bill Cooksey, Martin.
Dale
Bordelon, Ramsey Russell, Rob Kroon, Pitts, Bradley Ramsey. We gathered all these guys in the room, and we talked about opening day. This is an imaginary room. It's not a real one. Didn't fool you with that, did I, Josh?
No, but
it's going to seem like they're in one room as you're listening to this.
And that's what makes it special. You're about to hear. I mean, look, we just ask normal questions to normal, but, you know, in their own right, influential people. And people who are active on the site, people who are active in their careers, in their industry, and all of that is different with each and every one of them. But what you're about to get in this is I promise you, is going to make the truck ride wherever you're going today worth it.
Oh, I agree. I fully agree. I'll say this, and I want to go on and lay it out there. Look, we asked them, I'm just going to use Ramsey for an example. What's it like being Ramsey Russell leading up to opening day? That was the first question we asked. What is the most memorable opening day and why? A lot of good stuff. A lot of stuff that will make you stop. Maybe even get a little emotional, especially like Spence's last night or Mr. Dale's this morning. Unreal. Then we close it out. Goes through your mind 5 minutes before that first gun fires. It's going through your mind. So, just like Josh said, you're heading, no matter where you're heading, opening day is special for all of us. Very, very special. And this is that welcome to the jungle locker room song to get you fired up for the football game or basketball game.
Yeah, but it is, but it's also like it's got the emotional aspect to it of it being like senior night, like the last time you're going to run onto your home field.
Yeah, that's a lot of good stuff here. You know, before we get into them, though, Josh, we've talked about this. You know, I told my little bit of mine before dove season started. And I broke it down into deer season, duck season, dove season, what it was like for me as a kid and as an adult going into an opening day, whether it be deer, dove, or duck, you know, even at 35 mm-hmm. years old, I still didn't sleep the night before, woke up 100 times before the alarm clock went off, didn't go to bed late. You know, that's what it was like for me. And especially now that my dad, I'll answer the last question now, especially since my dad's passed. You know, I spent a lot of time reflecting on him. I'll say this. There's two times every year that my dad acted like a kid. Opening day and Christmas. My dad, with the kid inside of him, would come out. I reflect on that, and I hope that I act like him. I think it's the one day that we as men be excited like boys. Or 2 days. It's the two days we are.
I know. I agree with it.
But before we go into, you know, but before we get into them, what about for you?
Any time in the last 10, 12 years, any time anybody has asked me about opening day, the first thing that pops into my head was, okay, so Thanksgiving week is here. So as a kid, you're about to be out of school for a whole week. Well, when we were growing up, we had a place in Tennessee about an hour from home where we hunted. We had a place close to the house we hunted. But the place in Tennessee, in Savannah, that was camp. That's where we had a camp house. That's where we all went. It was a bunch of people, you know, 7-8 guys. And my granddad was a part of that club, and it was a bunch of his buddies that were in it. I grew up on that farm. And I knew when I went to sleep that Thursday night, I had to go to school that Friday. When I went to school that Thursday night, I went to school with my backpack at the door, my rubber boots, and all of my hunting clothes, and my rifle at the door. And it all got put in my mom and my dad's vehicle. My dad didn't hunt a whole lot. He loved camp. But he didn't hunt a whole lot. My granddad, Papaw, as a lot of people hear me talk about Papaw, he was, you know, one of, if not the biggest hunting influence in my life. So when I went to sleep on those Thursday nights, I knew that I went to school the next day and I was going to be standing in the car line. This is elementary school all the way up until the point I could drive. And I could count on that green GMC, the trailer, and a four-wheeler. In the early years, it was that big red three-wheeler, and then it became a Honda four-wheeler, and then and so on and so forth. But I knew that vehicle was picking me up on Friday, and we were going to make a loop through town. We were going to get all my stuff out of my parents' vehicle, and I was gone for a week because it was opening day. And through the years, that it changed a little because later on down the road, we started hunting. We had a place in Arkansas for a long time, many years. So instead of opening that opening weekend at Mississippi deer season, it became opening weekend of Arkansas duck season for us. But the aspect was still the same. Like when I went to bed Thursday night, Friday was, I don't think I could ever remember anything that happened on any of those Fridays because they're all a blur. But I can tell you every single thing that happened every single one of those Saturday mornings. I'll never forget it, and I always look forward to it. It's a special, special thing. I mean, those memories, they never leave you. The way they look might change through the years, but it's opening day. I mean, it's opening day. I don't know how else to say it or explain it. It's just,
why don't we let the experts
explain it
a little bit better? Because it's a variance in opinions. and how they all look at it. And that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to end our opening in this and to go into these guys. So, listen, you won't hear Josh and I's voice inside of these. They're asked the questions that Josh and I just went over. So you're going to just hear their answers, these three questions. A lot of good stuff. Hope you enjoy it. Be careful traveling. Hope this does you a lot of good. Well, look, I hope that you guys enjoy these Josh and I had recording them. They're really good. You want to stick around through all of them. A lot of good stuff. Have a great opening weekend.
When I was in kindergarten, the teacher asked us what holiday came between Halloween and Christmas. And I raised my hand, and for some reason she called on me, and I said, "That's the opening day of duck season." And she laughed and said, "Your daddy will be really proud of you." And there's a lot of things that I look forward to in the year, but there's really nothing that I look forward to as much as the first weekend of duck season. And I don't even know if I can really explain why, other than just for as long as I can remember, there was no doubt in my mind, but we were doing the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Monday before Thanksgiving. Man, it is like such a special time. You know, couple things happened, seemed like opening weekend. One, we always went on Friday or Thursday. You know, we went ahead and we scouted a little bit, or we sat on the porch, you know, and we just did stuff leading up to it, like you got stuff ready. And then the other thing was we stayed the whole weekend. And I grew up in a family, we went to church most every Sunday. And so we would go a lot of times Friday afternoon. Heck, a lot of times we'd go Thursday afternoon and skip school on Friday and hunt Friday and Saturday. But we didn't stay Saturday night and hunt on Sundays very much. We came home and went to church. But opening weekend was one of those weekends that, like, I knew I could set my watch by. We were going to leave as early as humanly possible, either on Thursday night or Friday morning. And we weren't coming back until either the last moment of daylight on Sunday or on Monday afternoon, whatever my dad thought he could get away with. But it's kind of like everything in the whole world paused in whatever was going on in my dad's life and in my life and in my uncle's life and in our, you know, their friends. And it just, I don't know, it's like everybody pushes pause for just a minute and kicks it off. It wells up in you, you know, like you look forward to it all year. I love to turkey hunt. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to choose between a goblin turkey and a green-headed mallard duck, because I would be the most bipolar, schizophrenic human on the face of the earth. Like, I would not know what to go do. But there is something extra special about the opening day of duck season, and I think it's because you look forward to that day for 9 months. And turkeys are different, because turkeys just creep up on you and smack you in the face. Like, you winter comes and goes, and then all of a sudden it's springtime. It's like, you know, you got a couple weeks to look forward to turkey season. You don't have 9 months. But you look forward to the opening weekend of duck season from February 1st through the end of the winter and all summer long and the fall days, and they start to get shorter and shorter, and then it's like, finally, here you are, old friend. I've been asked 5 million times what I'm doing this weekend. And until Monday night, my answer has been that I was going to deer hunt with my dad, because I'm 36. I've never deer hunted on the opening day of Tennessee rifle season in my life. And as long as I can hunt, I've only missed opening day of Arkansas duck season 1 year. It was 2001. And I haven't hunted on opening weekend with my dad in probably 2006 was the last time we hunted together, because he just really doesn't care about it that much. He just really doesn't like to duck hunt. He doesn't like all the rigmarole and drama that goes with it. He's been out of town for 2 weeks. He went on a trip to with my mother, and they were out of town 2 weeks, and he didn't have much cell service. We haven't been able to talk about it. And Tripp has been asking me what we're going to do. And I said, well, so we're probably going to stay here and we're going to deer hunt with Granddaddy, because this year we're gonna do with Granddaddy as much as we possibly can. And he said, okay. And he said, well, what if I don't want a deer hunt? And I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, I want to go to duck camp. And I said, well, we'll get to go to duck camp. And he said, no, I want to go to duck camp with Granddaddy. And I said, okay. And I said, well, what are you going to do if Granddaddy doesn't want to? He looked at me square in the eyes, and he pointed his finger, and he said, Granddaddy will want to do whatever I want to do. Okay, mister. Dad's plane hit the ground Monday night about 7:30. At about 8:30, I got a text message from him that said, I'll do whatever Trip wants to do. So Friday afternoon, I'm going to get in the truck with my dad and my seven-year-old. I have to admit, I never thought that I would see that day where I had a little boy that wanted to go over there and do that. And special. Have all three of us in the truck with nobody else, you know? I can remember we always went to the Black River, Highway 63 or 67 or 412 or I-555, whatever they call it, between Memphis and Jonesboro, you know. That road back then was two lanes, and it was stoplights Turl and Mark Tree and Truman and Lepanto and all those little bitty towns. You stopped and wiggled through every one of them, and I swear, my dad's gotten a speeding ticket in every one of those blasted towns because they were ruthless. Yeah, heck yeah, man. Rolling down 63, headed to the camp. He's dang right. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Just a flood of memories. Do what?
Will you look ahead?
I don't know. I don't think about the future as much as I probably should. I probably should think about it a little bit more. Future's scary in some ways. Hard to imagine that my dad can still do it in 20 years. I know there's a little black dog downstairs right now that won't be able to do it in 20 years. So I don't really want to think about those things, but you asked me what it is I remember about it. And one thing I remember for sure, and I never can get this out of my head, is that remember as a kid, maybe it was just me, but do you remember the feeling that you got when you'd done something wrong and, like, everybody in the house was mad at you and you'd screwed up? Like, and whatever it was, you know, you'd back-talk your mother or whatever, and you kind of slunk around the house because you were in the doghouse. You know, you're in trouble. And, I didn't get in a lot of trouble as a kid, but, you know, as a, like, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, like, through those years, you know how you were kind of always perpetually in some kind of trouble, even if it wasn't like you were out smoking dope or something. It was always something, right? You were always doing something. Man, I remember getting in the truck with my dad and slamming the door, and I swear it was like every problem in the whole world stayed at 3103 Homewood Drive until we got back there. And it's still that way. That drive... I know they don't want us in their state, Rocky, but I'm telling you, there's something therapeutic about that drive. 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It's like every problem just, there's a whole new set of problems. Who's going to hunt with you and where are you going to hunt? What direction the wind's going to blow? But God, it's like you're a free person for 3 days, and there's just a different kind of piece. That drive just does something to you.
Opening day, for me, I really look at it as opening week, because the last week of preparation it's unreal. Like around this office, around just North Louisiana in general, there's a feeling of, oh my goodness, it's almost here. So you start looking around town and you're seeing side-by-sides and four-wheelers and bales of hay, and you just look around, and nobody even has to say it's opening weekend of duck season coming up. You know. I mean, there's just, all you have to do is open your eyes and figure it out. You know, it's crazy because opening week, like the week leading up to it, is just this weird kind of anxiety, stress-packed full-blown panic. Like, do I have everything? Am I ready? Like, this morning I woke up to a deal for a purchase order from a customer for turkey calls. Well, I haven't thought about turkey calls since last spring. So I'm waking up this morning. I'm going through, digging through, making sure we've got all the orders and all that. And then Jay stops by saying, hey, I need this. I need that. You know, I need a slicker top. I ain't got no shells. And then all of a sudden you get to opening morning and 3 minutes before legal, there is just everything you've done for the whole week passes. And there's just a calm that's like, oh, we're right there. We're here. We've made it. It's go time. You just know when it's opening weekend of duck season. And that to me is one of the coolest things, about living in North Louisiana and being surrounded in very much a waterfowl centric culture that is found here, because, you know, we're flat as a pancake and there's a lot of ag fields, and, you know, with all the rains and everything we've had here lately, there's plenty of water and there's plenty of fowl to fill up said water. So it's, man, it's such a cool time of year. And for me personally, like, I mean, I can remember opening day as a kid. Like, it just all depended on when they ran it, the season. Either you got a full week because of Thanksgiving break, or you just had a weekend where the only thing on your mind was ducks and your dog and just everything. And, you know, I remember, and it's still like this to this day. Like, last night, slept great. Tonight, I'm going to sleep great. Tomorrow night, I'm not going to sleep great. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wake up from the hours of 1, 2, 3, and 4 a.m. every hour in a panic that I have overslept. And it has been that way for 15 years. It is, I don't know what it is. You know, I always wake up in a panic. And I wake up saying, well, to me, what always wakes me up is like a weird dream of Phil saying, let's go. And it's like, oh crap! I'm still at my house. Like, they're gonna leave me? Like, you know. And then what? And not that I don't, you know. I got a key to the gate and a way to get there. That ain't a problem. But it's always, you know, that first 30 minutes of standing around the shop with us, all of us, because especially with the way our lives are now, so busy and kind of separated and this, that, the other, where we're not with each other as much as we used to be, that first 30 minutes of the morning standing around the coffee pot, and I don't even drink coffee, but that first 30 minutes of standing around the coffee pot in the lair, just talking about, I mean, it's here. Like, it's, you know, it's just hard to describe, you know, the full range of emotions you go through, because you've got anticipation, you've got just pure joy, you've got, how am I going to react when I miss the first shot of the morning? You know, like, there's just all these kind of things that just go through your head. And, you know, it all comes to ease when you jump on them four-wheelers and them side-by-sides and take off. And you're like, okay, I get it now. But on the outside, you're calm. But on the inside, you're like your dog that's in the back of your rig that knows it's opening day two. And he's going back and forth and back and forth. And he's got to stop and take a crap seven times. And he's got to, you know, I mean, it's just, I get that same way. I mean, opening day, if you put a chart on how many times I pulled over on the side of the road opening day to relieve myself, it peaks at opening day, and then it goes down from there. So, because I'm so excited that even my internal organs know what's coming. It's like, oh gosh, it's here, it's here, it's here, you know, and just there's something about it. Even though I got to go watch kids kill ducks last weekend, it's not opening day. Like, it's just, it's that deal. It's a waterfowler's Christmas morning that the feeling of being a kid never leaves. Like, you know, you're waking up to find Santa and see what he's left. That's what every third weekend in November is like for duck hunters in North Louisiana.
Opening day is a grown man duck hunter's equivalent of a child's Christmas. Y'all excited, know it's coming in. You know, Rocky, as you grow up, you realize it really don't matter what you got. Oh, you want a bunch. You know, kind of, sort of, what you want on opening day. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It's being with the right quality of people and familiar places, being at home and eating good food. And just, it's that day. You know, when you're a kid, Christmas Day is that day. Well, to a duck hunter, opening day is that day. But when I think of opening day, I think of myself and Forrest and Duncan and usually my old college professor buddy, Ian Munn. Because he and I have now shared 25 opening days together. And one of the most memorable things about opening day for me, in Mississippi I'm talking, is we never get the high card. I don't have the best luck in the world. And Ian, you know, he's got the Joker and the Two of Diamonds reserved in permanence. He's usually going to draw one of the two. So we always get a picked over blind. And I remember one time he drew the 8. It's a pretty dang high card for him. We got about 5th or 6th pick. And he and I enforced. And Duncan went out. It was Cooper's first year retrieving. And we had just a spectacular hunt. We had to stay out there at about 10 o'clock. But we came back with, I think we were one away. I think Ian came up one duck short of a limit. Forrest and Duncan and I all got ours. And it was mallards and green wings and gadwalls. It was just spectacular. And then the following year, it was a nice, boom, cold opener like this. And somehow or other, we got the high card. And it was over before we knew it. My buddy Ian, we've got this little running joke about nice shot, Mr. Ian. That'll be an interesting topic of a podcast one day because we're being very facetious. When that gets said, it's usually a very facetious statement. But he was done well before I was on my limit. And that, it's always, when I think of opening day in Mississippi, there may be a few new faces joining us if we pile in. It could be my buddies Justin, his brother Josh. It might be Sam Pierce. But always, so far, it's going to be me and Forrest and Duncan and Ian. And that's what the past 15 years have been like, and we love it. Last year, got to say, last year I did not hunt with Ian Munn in the same blind, but I believe I drew 3rd or 4th pick, and we were going to go to a certain duck call. It's a big body of water. We knew it was going to be divers. Hey, better than nothing. We didn't care. And to make the blinds right, we decided we were going to hunt 2 of the blinds. That way, both teams, me and Sam and Ian and somebody else and just a couple other guys and Forrest Duncan. And we said, okay, we'll go 4 to 4 of the blinds. Right off the bat, it worked like, I mean, just gangbusters. A lot of bluebills. And by bluebills, I mean ringnecks. A couple of scalp, but lots of ringnecks. Fast and furious. And I heard some shouting as I was walking to pick up the decoys very early. I mean, just 15, 20 minutes into the opener, I heard kind of some shouting coming my way, and it was the next blind over, and it was Ian kind of heckling me. Leave the decoys alone. They're fine. You're shooting plenty. What I learned after the hunt is, you know, 20 minutes into the morning, he thought, He was telling them, oh, look at him. Why don't he leave them decoys alone? He's always moving decoys. He always wants them just right and wants them perfect. And Sam goes, I think he's picking up. I think they're done. And so that was a good fun thing to talk about at breakfast that morning. 5 minutes before shooting time, what is my frame of mind? 5 minutes before shooting time, I'm at peace with the world. I'm with people I love. And the world is right. It's just right there. And I'm gonna say, you know, man, that old saying, if you're not early, you're late, that's duck hunting. The whole day is ruined. I don't get my 5 to 10 minutes before shooting time. Just to chat, the decoys are out, the dogs are out of the water. We're standing there just talking quietly. You hear birds overhead, or you don't, it don't matter. You're there. The feeling of just being at home on my stomping grounds on a piece of property I've hunted for 17 years with my family, watch my kids grow up on, watch my buddies get old like myself, and just to be there anywhere. Whether we draw the 2 or draw the 8, it really don't matter. We're there. And that 5-minute feeling, if you could just bottle that feeling 5 minutes before shooting time on opening day, I would drink it every day.
Oh man, it's the biggest holiday of the year. We saw the preparation, everything that from brushing to planting food, to everything getting ready leading up to this. It's the Super Bowl. You know, 6:12 Saturday morning is gonna be awesome. The weather's lined up, and as far as historically, you know, it's just been a really important day to me for a long, long time. I think it's kind of my time, and my family knows that. They understand I'm going to hunt a lot, and I'm going to be gone a lot. I'm going to be tired and grumpy, but you know, it's my passion, and they understand that. And that's you know, it's, I hate to sound like R&T, but it's what we do. You know, my most memorable opening day was probably when I was 12 or 13 years old. We had a little spot in Tennessee. I think the lease was like $500 a year. Probably saw about 30 ducks and killed two of them, and I would have thought that it was the best thing that ever happened. You know, we hunted this place for a couple of years, and you didn't kill many ducks, but you learned a whole lot. You learned about losing ducks and losing cripples and chasing ducks and not running over the dog ramp and the boat. Just stuff like that. Now, I've had some great memorable opening days where we limited out and did all that, had great pictures and had great food. But, you know, I'm a firm believer you really learn from not doing good and not taking log picks. You learn from getting beat by the ducks and, you know, having to learn when to call, when to shut up, you know, where to put the decoys, where the wind's blowing, stuff like that. So I'm fired up. I've got goosebumps. I'm ready to go. Everything's ready. You know, I would sit here and say it doesn't matter if we kill a duck. It really doesn't in the grand scheme of things, but I am excited, and I do expect us to do pretty well. You know, it's just the whole thing. I mean, the whole social aspect, the killing aspect, the calling the ducks, working the dog. You know, you've been training your dog in the off season, whether he's a pup or, you know, a finished dog, or, you know, just an amazing dog that can do everything. You got all that going on, you know. It's the best day of the year. And my favorite hunt, my favorite 3 days of the year, honestly, are the Friday, Saturday, Sunday after Thanksgiving. Because a lot of people aren't there. A lot of people are still home having to do Thanksgiving stuff. And that's really my favorite time to hunt. But by far, opening day is the day. That's the day. That's the one you got to be at. And that's what you worked and spent money and saved and bought four-wheelers and boats and everything else in the world. Well, there's always a competitive aspect. There has been. It's human nature to be competitive. So you get that feeling, those butterflies, and that doubt, you know, are you going to get them? Are you going to, you know, what's going to happen? Are you going to find them? You know, maybe you're in a new lease or a new club and you're not exactly sure where the pit is or the blind is, or, you know, you're going to be able to find it on the first try, or you're going to look like a goon riding around in circles. I've done that. I think everybody has. It's just the whole thing of here it is, it's finally here, you've been waiting, you know, it's almost euphoric. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's just something you don't get to do every day, and it comes once a year, and it's just a full preparation, and everything you put into it, everything you've talked about and thought about, you've been on the internet reading about new ways to put decoys, new ways to rig them, where to put them, what other people do food-wise. All this stuff that you think about and trying to get advantage over other people, or try to get advantage over your neighbor that may kill a few more ducks, or you hear them shoot all the time and wonder what they're doing. It's all that bundled in together, and you know, getting everything ready, talking to your buddies, you know, here we go, this is what we're going to do. You know, supposed to be a south wind, sunny, so we'll set up here, we'll do this. Maybe we should go to another blind. If it's not hot, we'll go to another. It's just, there's so many variables on opening day. You know, most of the time you haven't been, you could be scouting them, but you really don't know when all the guns go off. You know, at 6:12, when everybody starts shooting, they're going to be everywhere. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be looking for other places. You know, they've been shot at since Canada. So it's just, it's an all-around competitive, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to beat the ducks today feeling, and that's what gets you going. You know, I don't know what to compare it to as far as, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's like getting married, or it's something that you're uncertain about, and the uncertainty is what makes it so awesome. It doesn't matter if you've been killing ducks your whole for 50 years, 20 years, 10 years, 1 year, whatever. The certainty and the feeling you get from knowing you're getting to go. You bought your license, you got your gun, you got your shells, you got your dog, you got your boat, everything you got to have, you got it. And it all leads up to this. So there's going to be some things that happen and somebody's going to be late. You know, it's just going to be, it's just, that's what's so fun about it. You don't know. You really don't know. People can say, well, yeah, we got them hemmed up. We're going to go in there and shoot our five limits and be done at 7 o'clock or whatever. And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's, you know, that's hunting. It's whatever. You go, you know, some people go for the fellowship. Some people go to call ducks. Some people don't even take a gun. They don't even take a gun. They leave it in the boat. They don't care. They've killed enough. They just want to see them work and see other people have fun hunting. Now, whether your version of having fun is killing them, calling them, whatever, it's still fun. That's why you do it. That's why you spend all the money to do it. So, I mean, it's this, all of this wrapped up in one, leading up to this one day. You know, after you hunt 3, 4, 5, 6 days, yeah, you know, looking back, you're kind of like, whatever. But this day is it. This is it. The biggest thing that goes through my mind is when I start Friday night, I start trying to figure out where the wind and everything is going to be and start getting ready. And the first thing that goes through my mind when I get everything in the pit or the blind or the woods or the blind, you know, whatever, wherever you're hunting, is that I've got to figure out, I got to make sure that my dog is not acting like a goofy idiot. I got to make sure that, you know, everybody's being safe. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying I run every hunt. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the guide or I'm the boss or whatever, but I tend to, you know, try to make sure everything is situated where that everybody can be safe. I know some people are probably going to laugh when I say that, but, you know, I really do try to make sure everybody's ready and everything. And the first 5 minutes before is really just me sitting there, just still shaking, still ready, listening to ducks, you know, just 100% excitement. Just, I mean, it can't get any better than that, in my opinion. And then when it goes off, you know, you have somebody shoot early somewhere. It never fails. And everybody's like, well, it's open now. So, you know, it's just everything balled up into one, man. It's just an awesome, awesome experience. And I'm just glad I get to do it, really. You know, I'm glad somebody introduced me to this and got me into this. And I'm glad I'm passionate about it because it gives me time to do this. To meet these kind of people, and no matter what anybody says, I've met some of my best friends hunting, my best man and all that, and friends over Facebook and Duck South and trading duck calls and meeting people. It's just its own culture, and it's something that, you know, people that don't do it or don't get it, you know, they just don't get it, or maybe they don't want to do it. That's fine. Maybe they think it's too cold or they don't want to fall in the water or it's not safe or whatever, but even the races and the competitiveness of getting to the hole and getting there first and, you know, it's such a different feeling. I mean, I've been excited losing a hole before. I wasn't exactly excited about it at the moment, but then you get in another hole and do good and it's all good. So opening day is the day. Right now, I don't even know where I'm going. I got a pretty good idea. It's about a 90% chance I know where I'm going, but, you know, if they turn up somewhere, I may be bouncing somewhere else. So that hole and almost anxiety or feeling of uncertainty is what just makes it so awesome.
Oh, opening day. I tell you what, I hadn't missed an opening day since 1976. And that's probably one of the most exciting times of my life because everything revolves around duck hunting to me. It's couple of weeks of getting things ready and making sure the decoys are done and my blind. I spent a whole lot of time in that blind, but I'm pumped up, man. And I've been talking with my boys and my best friend, and we sitting on go. I got everything ready, and I'm like a kid in a candy store, believe it or not. And I never lost that urge, and thank God, because that. I'll stay fired up, but opening day is probably one of the biggest things, the biggest event besides, I mean, birthdays and Christmas, I guess. Very important to us, not just me, my family. And we've been going in the woods for over 40 years, and every weekend, not just opening day, but opening day is a big thing. We cook a big supper, we talk about the old times, and It's just a very, very big event over here where I'm from, and especially me. So I just finished doing some decors. I'm having my homemade decors this weekend to open it off in my dugout pirogue, and I want to try to get a little footage of that and share that with the public. It's a very important where I come from. It's our heritage. It's just a big event. I'll tell you what, I have a bunch of good ones. And, yeah, that was one hunting with my dad, and he passed away now. And just a memorable hunt that we've done in the past. And I mostly have my best friend I hunt with. We've been hunting together for 40-plus years, and we're still hunting together. But right now it's my two boys. The last few years, we've been killing our limit, and I've been sharing, we can share that together with my kids, and it's very, very important. I don't know if I can pick one, but I can pick a whole bunch, and it all comes to the same, with my daddy, with my two boys. It's just a very, very important time to, it's sharing the blowing with your family and friends. It's not all about numbers, but it's nice to kill a good mess of ducks and enjoy it together. And I just have a lifetime of memories as we speak. And I keep pursuing that as I get older. And it's very important to me. I have a lot of good memories, I tell you that. Well, I'm going to tell you like this. The way I started going to the camps with my daddy and his friends in the late 60s, early 70s. And I used to sit down and hear all those stories. And those stories never left me. And it's like, it just a big thing to hear all these old men talk about these hunts. And as I got older to hunt, I never lost that track to none of that. And it kind of set a foundation. And when I get in my pirogue and paddle to my blind, I just think all those thousands of times my dad did that before me, and the old people, and it just, it's very emotional. It's something like I'm doing this out of my heart and the enjoyment of duck hunting, but it also is to honor them. My dad, he went to the camp till he died, and he left a big imprint on me. And I'm just carrying the old tradition on. I'll paddle to my blind and I'll stop and just drink coffee in my boat. And I'll just think of thousands of memories in about 30 seconds. I do that every time I go. I just have a lot of influence with the older people. And I'm just carrying on. And I know my boys, they're in their 20s and they pick that up already. They do the same thing I'm doing. I'm very fortunate. They like it as much as me. And if I couldn't duck hunt, I don't know what I would do.
Opening day. You know, for me, opening day has really been changed a lot in the last 10 years. I haven't got to make as many opening days as I've wanted to. I was very fortunate to go on opening day last year. But that's kind of changed also in that I hunt so many different states now that there's a bunch of opening days. But the one that really, really matters to me is either the east zone of Louisiana or Mississippi. And sometimes those are the same, but they're not often. Mississippi's been opening on a Friday for the last couple of years for some strange reason. Man, lead up to opening day, It's a bundle of things because, like I said, I hunt so many different places. I'm getting reports and talking to people from Kansas to Texas to southern Wisconsin to I'm just all over. And so trying to figure out where I'm going to go, who I'm going to get to hunt with, or what I can do to help line up other people if I'm not going to get to go, it's an emotional roller coaster. I mean, a lot of times I don't get to go on opening day often. It's just a weird thing where if I want to be off Thanksgiving, opening day is just not going to happen for me. So even though I don't get to go, I still want sleep.
on Friday night because I'm so excited for my friends, for my family, for my loved ones. They're going to get to go. And, you know, it's kind of a, it's the beginning of the year for me. So, you know, it's a total upheaval. And, it, you know, it's a flood of memories, and it's just, it's crazy. It used to be that my night before opening day ritual, I didn't mean it to be a ritual, but it eventually wound up somehow that I was always stringing decoys, no matter what. I don't care if I'd strung 500 decoys throughout the rest of the year. For some reason, I'd be dealing with decoys on the night before the opener. And that doesn't seem to happen for me now, but it's where my mind goes on Friday night when I'm not at the camp. I sit about, I'll think about all the nights sitting around with my friends and family stringing decoys on, with the anticipation of opening day. I could pick out one opening day. Whew, that's tough. But the one that, the most recent one that really stands out to me, this is going to be tough, Rocky. It was the first year I'd moved back to Mississippi. I had sworn a long time ago I'd never come back to my home state. You know, I was a wild rebel, left a long, long time ago, 20-something years ago. And through the fates and love, I wound up back in my hometown of Vicksburg. And on opening day, I went to go to a spot that I'd been going to for decades. And a bunch of young bucks had beat me to it. And I said, well, I'm going to go back to my fallback. I had a second spot picked out. And I got there, and there's nobody there. Hunting by myself. And went out, and it was just a little spot on a sandbar, a little puddle of water, probably not as big as most people's swimming pools. And I got out there and loaded my shotgun. And when my father passed away, we had his ashes reloaded into shotgun shells. And ever since then, opening day, or at least one day out of the season, one shell of my father's ashes are shot by me or by a friend. So I got there, sat through first light, didn't see a duck. A little after shooting light, single greenhead comes by. I call at him one time. He bows up, falls into the decoys. I shoot once. He folds up. Of course, I'm in tears. This is my first hunt back in Mississippi as a resident. I shot the bird with my dad's ashes shotgun shell. It was on a place that he had hunted before. He and I never hunted the river together, but this is one of his old spots. So I go down, I pick up the bird, and I put it over to the side, and I photograph it with the shotgun hull and all this, that, and the other. And I sit there, and I hunt. I finish out the day, and I shoot two more mallards. And when I'm packing up, I separate Dad's greenhead out to the side because I'm going to get it mounted with his hull there beside it. Get back to the house, and my stepson, who is 6, I think at the time, comes out. He wants to see the birds. And I'm showing him the birds, and I'm telling him about the shell and how I shot with Dad's ashes and talking about it. And he says, hey, what's that on its leg? And I looked down, and said, damn, bird's banded. I hadn't noticed it. And first hunt back in Mississippi, first bird I shot with Dad's ashes, banded mallard greenhead. Turns out the bird was 6 years old, same age as my stepson. So that one's going to stick with me for a while. That was a pretty good way to get back home. You know, 5 minutes before shooting time, what's going through my brain? You know, Rocky, I'm an old guy. I'm an older guy now. I'm nostalgic. I'm sick with nostalgia these days. 5 minutes before shooting time on opening day, what's going through my mind? I've put aside the, did I get it right? Did I make the right call? Did I make the right decision? Are we set up right? That last 5 minutes is a conversation between me and my maker and the people that you know, made me a waterfowler who aren't with us anymore. There's way too many of them. But that's where I am. I'm with my Lord, my teachers, in those 5 minutes.
Well, opening day to me, aside from all the anticipation and the long wait from last year, is it's a magical time for me. I mean, I've had a lot of opening days, but the two words opening day, they get me stirred up as much as my wife saying I love you. I mean, I just got to be honest about it. I think and I plan and I hope and I sweat and I fret and I worry about things that I can't control. But you know, once opening day gets here, it's like the weight's off my shoulders and it's showtime.
Well, for me, the month beforehand where Dad and I are on the phone almost daily, it seems like, talking about something, planning something. It's the whole process building up, culminating to that click of the watch, waiting on that minute of the first morning that we've been able to do this in months. And just the anticipation of what's coming next. What have we done to put us in our place for that morning?
It just means that the hard work is about to pay off that we've all put into it. All the sweat and anticipation and hard work we've all put into it just amplifies, you know, what we're doing there, and just the build up. It's like, you know, the Super Bowl. It's kickoff time. You know, it's all the seeing all the hard work, you know, paying off, and just to be there with all the friends and family. You know, it seemed like it just season flies by so fast, and then you know the off season drag on so long. It's just, you know, the anticipation build up of you know that opening morning sunrise, or you know, the first shot of the morning type. So it's definitely something that, you know, we all share as a, you know, common bond.
The one that sticks out to me that I seem to always think about is a year that we got to share with Dr. Andrews, Dr. Chubb in the pit with Dad and I and two other guys. And we had 10 redheads in the pit before we had another duck. I don't know what it was. You know, divers aren't completely uncommon for us in those fields, but redheads seemed to be one of the ones we killed the fewest of. But that morning, we had to stop, you know, a two-man per person or two-bird per person a limit, and we had to let redheads go that morning. But I just remember Doc that morning was just beside himself shooting them. Quit with him killing two in one shot. We needed two ducks, and he killed them both with one shot. That's an opening morning that sticks with me year in and year out.
Yeah, that's a tough one. One of the ones I really think, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe not the best quality hunt we have, but it's just kind of a funny story that happened during it. We, the three of us, and then I believe Big Ronnie was hunting with us in 151, and not very many hours that year opening day, and we had one greenhead later in the hunt that just circled and circled and circled and circled and circled. And finally, we just kind of went that, all right, if he makes one more pass and does that one more time, we're all going to shoot him. And sure enough, he did it one more time, and we all took it to the plug, and he already sailed out 300 yards to the north and fell out. You know, Patrick's dog, a lot of them went, got him, bringing it back. We're all kind of joking. I can't remember one, I think maybe Patrick or Dad said, watch this thing be banded. And she got within about 100 yards. Sure enough, that bird was banded, and we're all just in disbelief. But it also turned into shock because as she, you know, came in with the bird, it was not even a real federal band. It was a, oh gosh, what word, guys? It was a
frost waterfowl.
Yeah, frost waterfowl. It's a band of Kentucky. So, I mean, it flew, you know, more than a, you know, mile to get there. But it was just kind of the high anticipation. And then it felt like, oh, damn, it's not real. But it was pretty cool because, you know, it was just a memorable hunt. And it was like almost like calling your shot on that one. So it was a pretty cool hunt. I remember that one for a long time.
Probably one of my favorite opening day memories is our first year when I started the Lion Guild, when we moved up here from down south. Patrick and Stephen and I and a friend, actually a friend of a friend of a friend from Florida was up here with us. It was a three-bird limit. Was it two mallards or three mallards? I think it was three mallards.
Two.
Yeah, okay. Two. Yeah, that's right. Two mallards. Three-bird limit. The only pit we had was a Riley farm, and was able to get the boys out there without them falling down, and me too. And I had Clipper's daddy, Lucky, and had a wonderful shoot that morning. You know, we killed four limits of ducks, and, you know, I've still got the picture sitting beside my bed, and I guess that was the start of a lot of good things to come, and I'll forever remember that. I may not remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I'll remember that.
5 minutes before shooting time. 2 minutes before shooting time. It doesn't matter. This is for all y'all, of course, but what is going through your mind right before shooting time?
Man, just soaking it all in. Like, you know, the moment we've all been waiting for. Just, you know, ooh, there's one, here's one, look at these, look at those, here comes some. You know, just kind of, you know, it's like kid in the candy store, you know, Christmas Eve morning, you're just that excited and you're trying to contain yourself. I mean, it's just a, you know, it's euphoric almost. You know, it's just so much is going on. It's just what you've been waiting for the past, you know, 300 days, you know, just kind of building up to this one. So it's a special moment, you know, because everything's, you know, buzzing around and just, you know, you're just, you know, looking here, looking there, type what, and just, I don't know. It's something that, I don't know, it only happens once a year. You know, it's like your birthday. It's once a year type deal. So it's special.
Patrick, what's going through your mind?
A thousand different things. When, you know, you're waiting on that clock to tick. You're wondering, you know, is this flock of mallards going to hang around, or is that flock of teal going to buzz back through the decoys in just a few minutes, or, you know, are the other guys seeing the same thing? You know, are they going to be doing any good? I mean, you just got all these thoughts running through your head. You know, I hope the dog don't break, you know, just all kinds of weird stuff that runs through the mind of a waterfowler right before kickoff. You know, I guess that's what you can equate it to. You know, you're standing out there on the football field waiting for that kicker to drive that ball down the field. You're waiting for that moment when it all starts. And I mean, your mind's just racing a thousand different directions. And it all culminates to that first shot. And then, you know, it's there, you know, finally. And like Steven said, I mean, it's that once a year thing. You may hunt all 60 days of the season, but opening day is that one day. And it's all running through your head right then.
It's kind of like watching the ball drop New Year's Eve in Times Square. I mean, you're sitting there anticipating, a kaleidoscope of thoughts and images are going through my mind. And as it gets closer, you know, I'm wearing my cell phone out now. I'm wearing it out looking to see what time it is. It just, you know, the hype just has you completely stirred up, and you're waiting and you're watching, and the dogs is whining at the ducks that are landing in the decoys, and you know, you're checking your gun 100 times to make sure it's loaded, and you're waiting on that magic second of the magic hour of opening day. And it's a feeling unlike any feeling that I have. I say a little prayer before things kick off to myself to keep us safe and watch over us, and thank God that he let me make another one. You know, you just can't be thankful enough to be able to share this with, you know, people you love.
the day before opening day.
Mm-hmm. It will, here in Memphis, I've told people before, man, don't plan to, unless you're a duck hunter, don't try to go to Arkansas this Friday, because from about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on, it will be a steady line of pickup trucks hauling either four wheelers or boats crossing that I-40 bridge. I'm serious. It's almost like these people who are approaching our borders in a caravan. That's kind of what it looks like, and it goes on until about 11 p.m. And then there's another one that starts about 3 a.m. And I've been in both. So, and I look forward to next week. Yeah, if I do Thanksgiving here and Friday morning get up to drive to Arkansas, I have to drive by the Wolf Chase Mall. And anyone from the Memphis area who's been around here knows what that is. Yeah, and I drive by it at like 3:30 in the morning on Black Friday. I've done it so many times. And everyone's at these places in line to get in and shop. And you know, here I am driving to Arkansas to duck hunt, and I'm like, you people are insane. Yeah, looking at them at Best Buy, and there'll be 200 people lined up out the door at, you know, before 4 in the morning just to get in and shop. And I think they're crazy, and I'm sure they're looking at this guy going duck hunting if they actually knew what I was doing and thinking, what a nut.
All right, Bill, thank you again. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.